may be seated. Wonderful. Take your Bibles tonight, please, and go to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, 119. It's so long, nobody ever reads it. It's a fantastic psalm, every verse of all the 176 verses in it has the Word of God in it. Mentions the Word of God in one form or another in every verse. Statute, commandment, something like that. It's an acrostic psalm. And an acrostic psalm, whenever you hear the word, you ought to know what it means, A-C-R-O-S. Acrostic means that it has the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. In that psalm, for instance, the first, I'm going to see how many verses you got in the first grouping. First eight verses. Every one of those verses in Aramaic begins, the first word of every verse begins with Aleph. You know, like apple, and can't think of another word, starts with an A. You know, angel. A. Every verse starts with an A. Then from verse 9 through 16, everyone starts with a Beth, a B. Every word, the word starts with the letter B. That's why it's an acrostic psalm. Tonight, I want to share some things with you from God's Word regarding knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The reason I've chosen this in this middle Sunday of the advanced class is because I've been teaching you the manifestation of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And I thought it might bless you tonight if I handled some things in the category of understanding. Because a man can have knowledge and wisdom and still lack a lot of understanding. The word understanding, the best definition that I know that I can give to you, simply means to comprehend. To understand is to comprehend. And that word comprehend is a very unique word. There's a fantastic difference between apprehending something and comprehending something. To comprehend is to fully understand. To apprehend is to understand in part. And this word understanding, as it's used in the word, indicates that it's possible to comprehend the meaning of a word or a statement or an action in a matter which is under consideration. The most outstanding philosopher being read today is from China. He's the only good philosopher I've read for centuries that I enjoyed, because he says something and never says very much of anything, but it's enlightening. But he does have a real wonderful definition of philosophy, and I think it was last Sunday night I told you philosophy means world wisdom. Weltwissenschaft is a German word. Welt means world. Wissenschaft means smart and things of the world, which means sense knowledge-wise. In his book entitled The Importance of Living, which is being read by our PhD boys graduating in the fields of philosophy, I guess, he makes this statement, which I thought was sort of interesting. He says, philosophy generally seems to be the science of mankind of making simple things difficult to understand for mankind. I agree with that heartily. It is a science by means of which we begin more and more to understand less and less about ourselves. That's why I like you. In Psalm 119, in verse 130, is a very beautiful scripture that sets the pattern of what I want to deal with tonight regarding knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. At least it's one of them. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. The word then gives what? So if a man does not have the word of God, and the word of God is made up of the W-O-R-D-S, we speak of the Bible as the Word of what? God. The Word of God is made up of the W-O-R-D-S. If you do not have the Word, which includes the words of God, you're not going to have what? light. That's what the word says. That's what it means. That settles it. Therefore, a man outside of God who has no knowledge of the accuracy of God's word is just going to keep stumbling. He has no what? Light. And as it says in the Old Testament, at best, he can only walk in his own sparks. Secondly, this verse says, it giveth understanding. It gives understanding. It's the word that's the light, and the word gives what? Understanding. Understanding. And I defined understanding for you as the ability to comprehend the meaning of a word or what? A statement or an action in any matter which is being considered. That's why the word of God, as it says, has every truth regarding life and godliness. People spend most of their life never getting to the light. That's why they lack a lot of life. Life and the exuberance of life and the dynamic of life comes when people get an accurate knowledge of God's word and apply it. Act on it. So not only is the word that enters to give light, but it gives what? Understanding. It gives understanding unto the simple. And I think every time you read the word simple, you think about a pieman. You know, Simple Simon went someplace to sell his wares or something. And the word simple to us today, and it's really interesting, every time a man gets a hold of God's word and he starts using God's word, he'll always belittle it. He'll always bring it down to his stupid level. Oh, I've gone through at least 700-800 words from the word which are currently being used, and every one basically is a degradation of the word that's used in the word. When you think of simple, you think of someone that's half nuts. We look at a guy and we say he was a simple fellow. You know, it means he's off his rocker. That's not at all what the word simple means. The word simple means one that's undefiled, pure, sharp, someone who's real keen in understanding. In Romans chapter 16, take a look at this New Testament epistle here, addressed to the church. Romans 16. Oh, let's begin about verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, to beseech is to implore in a begging kind of way. I beg you, brethren, you mark them. Pay attention. Mark them out. Those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, the right believing, which ye have what? Learned. And the right believing always comes from the word. And you do what with them? Avoid them. Instead of trying to hobnob with them, it says flip out from them. Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, which means their own selves. And by good words, they sound real good and nice what? Speeches, fair speeches. They deceive the hearts of what? The simple. And that's where your word simple comes. They deceive the hearts of the simple, the pure. They deceive the hearts of those who are innocent, undefiled, just common, ordinary, simple, beautiful people who want to love God and serve God. That's what they do by their fair speeches and their good words. Verse 19, for your obedience is come abroad unto all. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple, innocent, simple, harmless, pure, concerning what? Evil. Isn't that beautiful? And the God of peace, if you do this, the "and" is a conjunction tying it together now, and the God of peace is going to do what? bruise Satan. He's going to do it. Our armor is not mind. You know, it's not what I do. It's not in my, it's not my shield and buckler. He is my shield and buckler. It is God who fights our battles for us. But we gotta stand and declare it. This is what he's saying. The God of peace is going to bruise Satan under your what? Feet. Under your what? Feet. And the word shortly is the word quickly. Means immediate, right away, booms, quick, now. That's what the word means. Shortly. God is going to bruise Satan, the adversary, under your what? Right. If you're wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil, then the God of peace is going to do this. He's going to do it quickly. And this bruising Satan under your feet is a very interesting word in the original text. It means he's going to do this with a grinding action. You got that picture? Quite elucidating, isn't it? You know, under your feet. Grind his little old head down right in the stone, in the cement, and just keep stepping on it and just grinding him in. A literal translation, according to usage, is, I rejoice, for I wish you to be wise unto good and unharmed by the evil one. And the God of peace shall utterly crush Satan in pieces, deeply under, with a grinding action, your feet quickly. That's the literal, according to usage. This is the simple. You know, the innocent, the pure, those who really want to walk for God. That's why you need to understand this word simple before we can get to the word understanding. Because knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, all of that is available to the simple people. Those who really hunger and thirst after what? Right. Those who really want to know God's will and God's word for their lives. It's the word that gives light. And remember that Proverbs? And that light comes to those that hunger and thirst. In Luke 24 is the record, in the light of which I've just shared with you, I want to now elucidate for you. It's one of the great fantastic records in God's Word. Every time I read it, every time I look at it, I just stand in utter amazement of it, and I get spiritual chills going up and down my spine, because it just sets like a great diamond. Like a wonderful diamond in God's Word with fantastic teaching on understanding the things of God. To have the knowledge of God's Word and the wisdom that goes with it is wonderful, but you're never going to really blossom out and mature like a wonderful Christian until you get the understanding. And the understanding is only available to the simple. To me, the simplest thing I can think of is ground, earth, soil. The reason soil catches all the rain is because it's humble. That's the word, simple. It's just down here, and when it rains, it gets it. God is like that. If we would just stay humble, simple, and just see God pouring out his blessing and then just declaring it. Luke 24, it was the day of the resurrection appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that afternoon, or during that day, it was afternoon, there were two men, according to verse 13, who were on their way to a village called what? Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Somebody told me that it was about 7.5 miles. I don't know for sure. I've never quite been able to figure out whose furlong we want to take. And so it could be close to this. It's not too far off, but The furlongs vary whether it's the Far Eastern, the Mideast, or the British. So you have a little opportunity. Well, and they talked together, these two men, talked together of all those things which had happened recently in Jerusalem while they were there. Verse 15. And it came to pass, while they communed together, talked together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now this is in his resurrected body. Two men on the road to Emmaus, traveling along, and all at once, Jesus joins them. Their eyes were holden that they should not recognize him. That simply means that they just didn't know who this was that was coming with them. Well, I guess I wouldn't have known either of you, because it was a body nobody had ever seen before. It was a resurrected body. It wasn't anything that would freak you out, but it was sort of a neat body. I don't know very much about it. The word doesn't tell me too much, but all I know, I'm willing to share, and the greatest I know is that the word of God says that someday we're going to have a body fashioned like unto his body when we're going to see him face to face that they were playing about. That's right. And then we shall know, even as also we are what? Know. And Jesus, verse 17, he said unto them, what manner of communications? The word communications is the word logos. Logos. L-O-G-O-S. And that word logos is translated word in the Bible. W-O-R-D-S. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God. The Logos was God. Here they translated communications, which I think is a rather weak translation. He said unto them, what manner of word? What kind of Logos is this that you have one with another as you walk and you're so long-faced, sad? Right. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? <That beautiful. laughs> They said to him, where you been, man? You a stranger in Jerusalem? That's what they say to Jesus Christ. And hast not known the things which come to pass there in these days? And he said, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus, who is God. Sorry. Jesus of what? The usage of that name is absolutely remarkable. Because Nazareth was considered a 20th-rate city. Right. Remember the scriptures where they said, can any good thing come out of what? Nazareth. Can anything... any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yeah, it's the wrong side of the tracks. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Nazareth was in Galilee. And every time the Galileans wanted to come to the feast, three feasts or four a year they had to go to. Three, was it? Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, and some other week that all the male guys had to make, M-A-L-E, at the... yearly feast in Jerusalem. And whenever the Galileans came, they were not allowed to stay in the city limits overnight of Jerusalem. They had segregation. They were allowed to come to the temple during the day, but they were not allowed to stay at night. They had to go to their Holiday Inns and Big Westerns on what even to this day in 77 is called the Galilean Hill. Called that to this day, 77. Outside of the city of Jerusalem, a little ways northeast of the city of Jerusalem, is still the Galilean Hill. Why? Because no good thing can come out of what? Nazareth. And whenever this name is used, Jesus of Nazareth, it's simply electrifying in the word. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of what? Who was a what? Prophet. They knew who he was. If no good thing could come out of Nazareth, Some did come out because he was a what? They didn't mind to be associated with that bad word Nazareth. They knew this man was a what? People, and it's very important. I don't care where you've been. That's why in the Way Ministry, we never ask you what you've done in the past. A lot of times you tell us. But if you do, that's your business. We don't ask you what you've done in the past. We don't even ask you what denomination or non-denomination belong to. You know why? Because what you did in the past, I can't help you with. I want to know where are you now and where do you want to go tomorrow? That's our ministry. Not the past, but where are you tonight? Where do you want to go? You people are here in the advanced class because through the past couple of years, at least, you've disciplined your life, you worked, you want more of God's Word to have the knowledge and the wisdom. Then to get the understanding of it so you can make it live so you can help somebody else. All we're in business for is to help somebody else. That's all. It's all we want to do. Just help people. Just reach out. Bless people. Because there are just millions around the world who have a need. And only the Word will meet that need. And the Word will only be there if you take it. If you take it. If you sit there and pray all day, not going to get done. That's right. Pray a little part, but get moving. That's right. It's like that fella who said, if he prayed, God would take care of his garden. So he prayed. And the other fella asked to come over to see it and was all grown up with weeds. God don't take care of a garden. You take care of it and God will bless it. That's right. Well, this is why I don't care what side of the tracks you're born on, because either side is death. I don't care how high up the ladder you have slid or how far down you've climbed. How's that? That's a new one to you. All men are dead in trespasses and sins without God and without what? They got to get born again, baby. That's right. They need Christ. He's the only life. He's the only life. And that's why we just don't ask people where they've been. I don't care where they've been. Because, you know, sin is sin. Soup is soup. Apple butter is what? That simple. And therefore, suppose you had 20 sins and I got 50. What's the difference? 20 and 50. No difference. Because we're both dead. If you're dead, you're what? What do you got, 20 or 50? What difference make? Dead in trespasses without God and without life. Boy, what a ministry, people. What a ministry. The same philosopher. I like this guy. Did I tell you? In one of his lines, he wrote, a decent man is absolutely embarrassed to go to church. Because he said, you've got to have some sin. You've got to have something because that's what they're going to be preaching at you. And you've got to feel in alignment and harmony with you. I don't know about that. All I know is, people, that there is no one in the whole world who is so low down that underneath God does not have his everlasting arms. There's nobody out so far in left field or right field or upfield, but that on the outside of every man and woman are the wonderful arms of God. And he is able to save to the uttermost anyone who comes to him through Jesus Christ. Boy, what a message to our day and time. What a message that speaks to the hearts of people who really want to hear truth. And God's in the business of truth through his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Look at this thing, man. A prophet mighty in deed and what? Word. And the word word is the word logos again. Mighty in deed and word before God and all the what? Verse 20. And how the chief priests, the top religious leaders, and the rulers, our rulers, which included Roman as well as Jewish, delivered him, Jesus of Nazareth, to be condemned to death and have what? Crucified him. But Verse 21, in contrast, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. What a tremendous thing. If it's the third day since, then the day that they're speaking on is the fourth day. Read English and stay put in logic. You see, if Jesus Christ died on Good Friday, you got one day. Good Friday night, one night. Good Saturday, 2 days. Good Saturday night, two nights. Bright and early Easter Sunday morning, third day. Where's your night? And Matthew says in other places in Corinthians, he'd be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the dirt. Another translation has it very beautifully. It's sort of colloquial English, but it says, goes away from 3 days. That's right. There goes away from 3 days. If there goes away from 3 days, that makes this day the fourth day. That's what the word since means. If you don't believe it, look it up in Webster. I did. Yeah. That it should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since away from when all these things what? 3 days ago. And remember, somebody had said, this temple, you destroy it, I'll build it in how many days? They waited around, nothing happened, they said. But they didn't wait long enough, or didn't hear properly, they're going to hear now. Yes, verse 22. Just for the record, if you need the word, and I don't pull anybody's leg when I talk the word. The word goes away, 3 days, is the word agia, A-G-E-I, in every critical Greek text. And that means goes away 3 days when these things came to pass. In other words, today is the fourth day. And we know that because Jesus Christ died on Wednesday, got up on Saturday night, and Easter, what we refer to Easter as the first day of the week, was the first day of the week. And that was the fourth day regarding the crucifixion and the resurrection. Verse 22, yes. And certain women also of our company made us astonished. And the word astonished means flabbergasted. It flipped their eyeballs, their minds too, which were early at the what? Sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels also. The word also has to go after the word angels, does in the critical Greek text. We have this work on also in the bookstore. You ought to buy it sometime. If you don't buy it, borrow it, steal it. I don't care. But you ought to mark your Bible. Every place where the word also has to be used. I've got everything in there accurately because the placement of the word also becomes very important. It's a very little four-letter word that we have some very theological arguments over, and you can argue with it if you just read the text. Put it at the proper place, and I've given you every place it's used in both the critical and Estringilo Aramaic in its proper usage. So, seen a vision of angels also, which said he was what? Right. They had a vision of what? So it says, revelation. God showed himself by way of a what? Vision of angels. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they what? Saw not. Quite something, isn't it? Sometime just put into your mind this historic occasion. Suppose it's true. Just suppose it's true. We don't even have to say it is. Just suppose it is. Suppose this morning in Emporia, Kansas, we heard that somebody got up out of the grave who'd been there 3 days and three nights. How many of you would start looking? Boy, I'd go with you. Why, I watched the other night. Somebody had a fire going someplace, I guess. I saw the fire engine of Emporia leaving, and there must have been 15, 20 cars following them. They went to a stupid fire. You have them every day. But you don't have a resurrection every day. Suppose you had a resurrection. Boy, I would. What about the leaders? What about our government men, our religious leaders? I want to tell you, ma'am, they went and they looked. That's one other great reason why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the great historic facts of all time. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And according to law, according to legal law, the primary witness. Okay, I'll stay in the camera. I want to teach you a little art, you kids. I learned this years ago in homiletics. If you want to keep a fellow, you know, some guys run all over the platform Billy Sunday and slid into third base and these kind of things. Some jump on top of the pulpit and we have to rebuild the altars. I learned a little art many, many years ago because I used to get involved in some of these guys. We wouldn't have any carpet on the platform, but we'd put a rug right in the area we want them to stay. And they stay right on that rug. That's right. Just like putting paper for your dog. They stay there.
You're wonderful.
What was I telling you before I got started? What? Oh, sure. In a court of law, the eyewitness is much more important than somebody 2,000 years later. You think about that in a while. That's right. The critics who today say Christ did not rise from the dead, that's a bunch of baloney. They weren't there. The eyewitnesses were there, and they said he did rise. That's right. And we had the march of 11 or 12 men who hazarded their lives and who were the proof that he did rise. Not only that, I speak in tongues and I got the proof he's still living. And he couldn't be living had he not what? Been raised from a... You talk about accuracy. Backing people up against the unbeliever, up against the wall and pulling their tongue out with a word. That's right. Boy, it's the witness. If you were in an automobile accident, you witnessed it. Your testimony in the court is much more valuable than someone 3 weeks later who looks at the car and says, well, I think maybe you had an accident. Hey, these men were there. The women were there. The rulers went there. I'll bet that place was crowded. They tell me if you want to learn where to put the sidewalks, let people walk about a while. On your property, and then you know where to put sidewalks. We do this headquarters, let people walk, and then we put sidewalks in. Then we know where they're going. I'll bet you could have put a sidewalks in. They were headed that way all day long and all night. You know why? They had sealed that sepulchre officially. The government had sealed it. They had set guards there with their bayonets drawn. I want to tell you, when God does something, he doesn't do it undercover. He does it out in the open. Everybody knew it. And here were these two men, deeply concerned men who had been in Jerusalem. They had heard, but they had trusted that it had been he who should what? Redeem Israel. But he had been dead. And they lost for the moment. The desire, they didn't understand, redeem Israel. They didn't understand why he should have been crucified, why Peter should have denied him, why Judas should have betrayed. They were just blown away. And here they are on the road to Emmaus on this wonderful day. Jesus joins up with them. Boy, oh boy, he said to them in verse 25, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have what? Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Boy, oh boy. Take a look at John 20. Show you a verse. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and enter into his glory is what I want to deal with. The entering into glory, which very few people have ever understood from the word, but I'm going to explain it to you. John 20, I was in 19. 20 is where it is, told you. In verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me what? Right. For I am not yet ascended to my what? But go ye to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, and I ascend to my God and your God. And people, if he was God, he made a funny trip. Hold it here a minute. Go to Matthew 28 for a moment. Didn't know I was going to put this together for you, but Father says, do it. Verse 9. Mary's involved here. I'm in Matthew 28:9. Are you there? And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and what? Worshipped him. And yet, in John 20, he said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended. How do you explain the contradiction? Again, it's in man's mind, not in the word. When Mary first met the Lord Jesus Christ that day, he had not yet gone to the temple to present himself. The law required people. Now listen carefully. This is Jewish law. You can read it in the Jewish encyclopedia. The law required that if anybody had touched a dead body, he had to present himself purified before the priest. That's why he said, I've not yet ascended to my Father, means he had not yet gone to the temple to present himself in his resurrected body. Later that day, or shortly thereafter, after he had done that, the disciples, including Mary, came and they touched him. They held him and they worshiped him. To worship someone does not make you God, not even in England or Great Britain. Because there, in the court of law, the judge is called your worship. But you see, we have some stupid idea that Jesus Christ was God, and therefore when it says they worshiped him as God. It means to pay homage, to respect. Like in the way ministry, we teach our gentlemen to stand when a lady walks in the room. Maybe we do worship her in the right sense. Respect for her. That's right. We make our men get off their duffs. That's right. That's to respect her. And that's the same word that's used for the word worship. That's why Mary touched him. And at other place he didn't. He had not yet ascended. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 26. And the glory there is that ascension to the temple, which was the fulfillment of what? The law. I'm back in Luke. Just got to have a few fingers to keep track of this. Jesus Christ literally fulfilled all the law. That's why he was dead 3 days and three nights was a requirement. 72 hours before the wife could collect anything on death from the insurance company. Had to have the proof. That's the legal side of his death. Enter into his glory is his presentation of his resurrected body in the temple. Then comes this great 27th verse. I wish we had this on tape. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning what? What a record. What a record. Wouldn't you like to have that on tape? Change a lot of theologies today. Golly, can you imagine? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in his resurrected body, two men on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and the other one whose name we do not know, two men, and Jesus Christ himself expounded. The word expounded is to interpret. Interpret to the end of declaring unto them in all the what? Starting with Genesis all the way through to Malachi. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning what? Boy, what a record. Golly, six. Today, in this year, 77, denominations argue like crazy over that which is promised in the scriptures concerning Jesus Christ. None of them agree. Jesus Christ has straightened it all out for two boys on the road to Emmaus. In all the scriptures, the things concerning what? Himself. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? Boy, I would. I'd even like to have it on tape, video. I don't care. Can you imagine, people, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the resurrected Son of God, taking the time, number one. Number two, teaching it to just two people. Sends tears to my eyes when I think about it. Jesus Christ taking the time, loving people enough that he took the time, sir, to expound the Word of God throughout the whole Old Testament as to the scriptures that referred to him to just two people. If numbers is the criteria of success, then Jesus Christ was a fantastic failure. Why didn't he have 5,000 to expound it to? Weren't that many believers around? On that beautiful day, there were only two. And that's the greatness of that record. A ministry does not depend upon the numbers of people. It depends upon the truth of God's word. That's right. If nobody ever believes it, it's still God's word. Amen. If one person believes it, you bleed your heart out for that one. It's one. It's God's word. If two people, it's God's word. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, had enough love and enough time to teach the Word of God to two people. That's a wonderful Savior, sir. That's the kind of Savior Jesus Christ is. Boy, oh boy. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Boy, what a revelation that is. Verse 28 says, they got near the village whither they went and made as though, he made as though he'd go further. But they constrained him. To constrain is to implore by giving a logical reason. They constrained him to abide with us, for it's toward evening, the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. We in the Occident do not understand the word constrained. Because, you know, it's dinner time, you invite me to dinner, and I say, when? Gert Behanna. Remember? First time she ever had a date, the guy said, will you marry me? She said, when? To constrain is to give a valid reason of why. And in the Oriental culture, you always reject it. You know, they said to him, well, look, Jesus, it's getting toward the end of day. You better stay with us. And he most likely said, well, I can still make it on a little further. And then they said, but sir, you ought to stay with us because you got to be hungry. And he said, no, I just ate at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Hadn't maybe eaten all day. That's Oriental culture. That's like the woman. Did I teach you that in the advanced class whose daughter, son was dead? And she, nope. And all is well, she said. Have we hit that yet? I better go to the advanced class and find out what's going on. And the critics say she lied. She didn't lie. She just an Oriental culture. That's culture. She just wasn't going to be as negative as the rest of the world. You got to believe in belong to the Occident to be negative. Really. That's why the Hindus, the Gujarati language, the, three or four other major languages. Sanskrit does not have the word no in it. N-O is not in the language. Whenever the people mean no, they say yes. So you have to get used to it. That's the word constrain. They gave him those reasons. They gave him reasons. You know, in America, you ask somebody out for dinner, they want to go right now. So after the third reason, and that's constrained, the word constrained always means three. He said, okay. And it came to pass, verse 30, as he sat at meat, at food with them, Jesus took bread and he what? And break it. And break and gave it to them. And then their eyes were what? I wish I would know what he blessed it with, what he said. I got an idea, but the word doesn't say so. How did they recognize him? Their eyes were opened. I think it came in the prayer. And it could have been something like this. I thank you, Father, for allowing your son to be here with these two. I don't know. Had to be something because their eyeballs were what? Open, and they knew him. And he what? Vanished out of their sight. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, see, they were in it. And while he opened to us the what? Isn't that beautiful? Their hearts burned as he expounded unto them the scripture. And people, I've seen this happen a million times since. When that word of God is rightly divided and open, people's hearts begin to burn. That's what they said. Did not our hearts burn within us? While he talked with us, and while he opened, and the word opened is the same word as the word expounded in verse 27. Opened to us the what? He didn't open the Reader's Digest or the Emporia Gazette or the New York Times. He opened one thing to them, and that was the word. Because the word is light. He opened the word. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures. He didn't give them what the latest theologian said. He opened the word to them. That's why their hearts what? That's why you're in the advanced class too. You're not here because I'm so good looking, I guarantee you. And you're not here because I'm so righteous and so pure and so innocent looking. Well, I'm not here to teach you because you are either, so let's keep the sword straight. We're here for one reason, to work the word. And it's that word that burns in our hearts. Did not our hearts burn within us while he opened us the what? That's right. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 crowded together. 11 gathered. The word gathered is the word crowded. You know, a room 8 by 10 and all 11 are sitting in one little corner. Right? Because they're scared to what? They got it bolted. You know, the bolt on the door, they got the Yale lock on it, they got the furniture pushed up against it. I told you I saw this in a Western. Yeah. The 11 gathered together. And others that were with them. And they said, the Lord's risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of what? And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst and said, peace. But they were scared to death, verse 37, and affrighted, and supposed they were seeing spirits. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me, see, for a spirit hath not flesh and what? God is what? As ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, wondered, he said them, have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words, the logos, which I have spoken unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning what? Here it is, verse 45. Then opened he their what? Understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. They had a lot of knowledge. They'd been to the sepulcher. They saw the open sepulcher. They saw this, you know, the shroud in what they'd wrapped him in. They saw the napkin. They saw that he wasn't there. They had knowledge and they had wisdom, but they lacked what? That's right. So you not only need knowledge, you need understanding. And that's exactly, he opened their understanding. You know, he didn't do that with a key. You know, didn't do it with a sledgehammer. Didn't, you know, sock him in the head and busticate it. It's like one of my critics wrote me once. He said, you must have fallen out of the crib when you were a baby on your head. So I wrote him back. I said, if it's that good, I wish you'd fall off the top of a 10-story building. I figured if I had a crack head and it was so good for me, he needed it. He was a rank liberal. Needed more than that. Got to get saved. Well, bless his heart. He opened their understanding. Now, how do you open a man or a woman's understanding? You do it by teaching them the word and the keys and the principles of the word, sir. That's what opens a man's understanding. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures concerning himself, gets back to Jerusalem, shows them his hands. Oh, it says, found the 11 gathered together. The only one that wasn't there was a fellow by the name of Thomas. And it says there were how many there? So if the 11 were there and Thomas is the only one missing, then a fellow by the name of Judas Iscariot had to be present. That's right. Oh, but I was taught he can't, because he went out and hanged himself right after he betrayed the Lord Jesus. No. It's the day of the resurrection appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas is still living. If you ever read the book of Acts, he's still living on the day of his ascension too. Hey, open their understanding by showing his hands, his feet, expounding unto them. All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in Psalms what? And that's what I believe he taught them. Everything that's written in the law, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. And the word Psalms is the word Karim, meaning other writings, all the other writings concerning himself. That's how he opened their understanding, that they might understand one thing. What? The scriptures. Because without the understanding of the scriptures, you will not have light. The word giveth what? Light. And he closes out that tremendous section. Said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. This agrees with 1 Corinthians 15:4. The word from is out from among the dead. And that repentance and remission of sins. Repentance and what? And to repent is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe God raised him from what? And then you get remission. Not forgiveness. You get remission of sins. Should be proclaimed, preached. And that word preached is real interesting. The Greek word is caruso. K-E-R-R-U-S-O. At the Kentucky Derby, before they bring the horses out, they get those big long horns out there, and a whole bunch of guys stand out there and they blow the horn, and then the horses parade to the paddock. That That blowing of the horn is called caruso. 5 times a day in Mohammedan lands today, a trumpeter, a horn man, stands on top of the temple area, the Mohammedan worship area, or in a high spot, and he calls them to prayer, the 5 hours of prayer. That instrument that is used to call people to prayer is called caruso. It means to call, to declare, to make known. That's the word preaching. To make known, to declare, to blow with a loud trumpet. Tell them the race is on. Indiana, the only play back home in Indiana. Boy, verse 48, and you're witnesses of these things. You are witnesses. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, tarry in the city, Jerusalem. He just had to keep telling them. Well, it's real interesting, isn't it? I would just like to say in conclusion, read the record in Acts sometime. Of the man who had been at the greatest religious center in the world, Jerusalem, at the feast. And he was headed home. He was a right-hand man of the queen. Took care of all her jewelry and all of her money. And he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. And a young man by the name of Philip came along and he asked him one question. What's that question? Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except someone interpret or declare it to me? That's why I know the word of God is not only for knowledge and wisdom, but it gives you understanding, understanding if you have the key. And the keys are written in God's word. And that's one of the reasons you're in the advanced class, to show you those keys, those principles that will give you, sir, an understanding of the knowledge and the wisdom that you have of God's word. That's how Jesus Christ opened their understanding. Okay? Father, I thank you for the wonderful time of being together with your people again tonight. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your goodness. Thank you for your blessing on all of our lives. Father, I thank you for the privilege of opening your word among your people again tonight. And Father, let this word live. Go way beyond my ability of teaching and my personality or anything else, and just let the word live, Father, that your people again can be dynamically blessed and walk in the greatness of it, that others may be delivered in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless.